At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Ah, the Bills running away now.
You're listening to the best of the Bills.
Touchdown, the first play from scrimmage.
A weekly mix of WGR 550's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Sabres with movement. Here is Byram. Spins it down to the goal line. McLeod, he's got a man in front. It's Alex Tuck. Here comes the shot. Scores! A blast from just inside the line, and Quinn's point total continues to climb, and the Sabres take a 3-2 lead.
One of your first moments of the game. For the moments in life, go forth to Firth Jewelers. Firth moments of the game. Jack Quinn, nice game for him. One of his best as a Sabre, and certainly a bounce back. He's been missing for quite some time, but good for him. Good for Jack Quinn. Back with the Sabres. Jeremy and Joe, and the Sabres win. They beat Detroit. As of right now, our phones don't work, and our YouTube stream is down as well.
Mm-hmm.
Are we on the radio? We think so.
We think we're on the air.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure we know that, but it's not like anybody could call and tell us. Because the phones are down.
Yeah.
So anybody trying to call in, we're working on it. And if you're trying to watch the stream, we're working on it. We'll get back to it. You could, of course, check us on the Odyssey stream, which I think is up and running. We must be on the air. We got a couple of tweets about this morning. So happy Thursday. Thursday night football on the way today. So, all right, we talked about the Sabres. You want to jump in on that? You can't, actually. You can tweet us, but the phones are not up yet. Call every minute on the minute.
Okay.
And we'll let you know when they're back. Somebody out there could do that, right?
Yes.
Consider it a service to us.
Yes. All right, we just call. We could put the phone up to the microphone if we really want to.
All right, here's what we'll do. I'm going to give out my cell. You guys call, and we'll put callers on the air. We'll put speakerphone right on the microphone. All right, 803-0550. So injuries for the Bills.
Yeah. Kincaid being limited is not a great sign for me, because was really hoping that one of the changes out of the bye would be an uptick in how much he's playing and an uptick in how much he's targeted. And if he's battling something still, then I don't know how hopeful I should be that that's going to happen right away, at least.
Right, he was limited going into the Atlanta game, right?
Yeah,
he was limited, yeah. And we thought, all right, sit him down. Get him healthy. It might have been I thought at the time, all right, you're going into the bye, fine. He misses a game, then the bye week, then he'll be back. Still limited is, well, Doesn't have to be the end of the world, but I'm with you. I feel like that's not great. And Daquan Jones, week to week. Josh Palmer's the one. Josh Palmer's the real, to me, siren going off about how does that affect what you're going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought same thing. Like, okay, he gets hurt against Atlanta week to week. Maybe he misses a game. But they still said week to week. And when asked about injured reserve,
mm-hmm.
Sean McDermott said, we'll see.
Right.
And I'm starting to think that injured reserve for a lot of these teams, maybe this has always been the case, and I'm just starting to think it. It is not the guy is going to be hurt for this long. It's we'll take the roster exemption for this long to cover things up. And I wonder about the Bills doing that at receiver. Is somebody going to come in while Palmer goes to IR? To say we'll see on IR. It's guaranteed 4 weeks. But
yeah, they have six, right? So if Palmer were to go to IR, they've been rotating who's been inactive, whether that's been Moore or whether that's been Samuel. Mm-hmm. So if they're healthy, I would assume that if Palmer goes to IR, they're gonna have their five, right? And they'll just dress every game.
I wouldn't be so sure about that.
Because if you bring in another receiver, then either that new receiver is being made inactive, if it's like a low-level guy,
yeah.
Or you're just making Elijah Moore or Curtis Samuel inactive
again. Curtis Samuel. Shocker, limited.
Right, which is, you know, like automatic, it feels like at this point.
So is it possible, I guess the answer to this is yes, it's possible the Bills go into this game against the Panthers and their pass-catching group is the tight ends, Knox and Hawes,
mm-hmm.
and the receivers are Coleman, Shakir, Moore, Shavers. That's it? I'm out?
You're assuming Samuel's not playing?
Well, I mean, if he's limited,
yeah.
It's saying it's very possible that that's my pass catcher group. That if,
possible.
If we're saying that Kincaid could miss because he's limited, then I definitely have to entertain the idea that Samuel could miss because he's limited. He's got rib injury.
Yeah.
Even if he's back, is that playing through pain?
I mean, I feel like he's playing through pain every game you see him out there.
Sure, right.
This is a rib injury, by the way, for him. This isn't like the ankle or the turf toe like he had last year, but still, whatever.
Well, the thing about Palmer being hurt is I feel like it gives the Bills a nice little out here, if you want to talk about it as an out. Because
I don't think Moore or Samuel are your solutions to anything you're going to be missing in Palmer.
No, I agree.
At this point, I'm not betting on that.
I agree with that. And one of the big conversations around this Bills team and, you know, the downfield passing story made it to NFL Live with a jarring statistic that we can all decide how much we're supposed to care about. And you out there can let us know. But with these receivers, you know, the post-draft dust-up on the air, after the fact, one of the things that Sal said about it, his take on it, I thought was a good one, which was, you know, if Brandon Bean, when he's asked, do you value receivers, says not really, then his receivers would say, what?
Right.
So I always thought that was a really good point from Sal. The idea that when I asked, do you value receivers, we're talking about whether or not the Bills are doing enough at receiver, I was implying that there's not enough there. And I, of course, still think that. But Bean would be defending his own players, guys he brought in. You're forgetting about Josh Palmer, Curtis Samuel. Elijah Moore comes after that. Now, if you go get a receiver, forget about the fact that, you know, that on our conversation happened. It would be viewed as we don't have enough there for the second year in a row.
Right.
And the difference is this time, if Palmer is week to week or on IR, he can go do that. And just mm-hmm. say, we still love our guys, but, I mean, guys, we got injuries. So it right. doesn't have to be any sort of undermining of the concept. It doesn't have to really be something he goes back on where he likes the group he's got. He does.
Mm-hmm.
I have serious questions about it, like a lot of people do. So this way he could go trade for a receiver, and it would just be like, well, I mean, what am I supposed to do? We're in a season. We're trying to win a Super Bowl. We're trying to win a division and build for the future, and I got injuries. Curtis Samuel's hurt all the time. Now Josh Palmer's hurt. Kincaid, the focal point of my offense, is limited and has trouble staying healthy. I got to get another body in here that I think can make a difference. So whether that's pick any one of the names out there, I feel like Palmer being week to week gives them an out. It gives them an outlet to do that.
Yeah. I'm not saying you're wrong at all. I think it's kind of amazing, though, that a guy who is like a two-catch-a-game guy for his NHL career, NFL career, is the difference between, uh-oh, I've got to add somebody.
Palmer.
Or not. Palmer, right?
Like, Palmer.
Why is it not working with Elijah Moore? Because I pointed out before the year, his numbers in his career with, by the way, worse quarterbacking, are identical to Josh Palmer. They're identical. Like, they've had the same career leading up to this point. But for some reason, and I'm not even saying Palmer has been awesome. How many catches Palmer have on the year? It's not many.
No, it's not.
He's not really been much of a factor. So, okay, like, the idea that they're really going to be missing him, I think they will miss him because I just don't think they have a lot of other ideas right now.
Palmer has 14 catches.
That's what I mean. Like, it's not like he is setting the world on fire.
Since the Ravens game when the Bills had to, you know, run out to try and get to 40, he's capped out at 2 catches in a game. Of course, the Falcons game, he got hurt in the early.
Right. So, I don't know. Like, the fact that Moore or Samuel can't do what Palmer has done already, it's not really that much to do. But what you're looking for is something beyond what Palmer has done already. And you were hoping that was about to happen with him. But Moore, I liked that move when it happened. I thought he was a good separator. He was pretty good in Cleveland and even in New York. I liked him as a prospect in the draft. They liked him enough to give him guaranteed money.
He had 61 catches last year.
Right.
And 59 the year before.
110 catches the last 2 years. Like, the guy is an NFL player. This is not, you know, when they added Andy Isabella a couple of years ago. And I like that too, but that was for like a much different standard. Like, I thought Moore could really give them something. And that's just nothing. There's nothing there, right? He's made a couple plays on jet sweeps. But in terms of playing the position, running routes down the field, playing on the outside and the inside, like, I thought he could give them what Palmer would also give them, and he's just not. He's not at all. Maybe they'll ask him to do it, though, against Carolina. Because, I don't know, like, Coleman or Shavers is probably playing that big X position, and then who's playing Palmer's spot?
Is that J.C. Horn? J.C. Horn's going to cover and lock down
who?
Coleman. Like, we'll put our best corner on Coleman.
Yep, and he'll play up against the line, and he'll get press, and then who's that other receiver on the outside that's going to get that little bit of space?
Moore.
Because, right, I think it might be Moore. But I don't... What am I supposed to expect there? He's going to, what, have six catches in the game? Like, there's nothing that would tell you that we're ready for that. That's my biggest disappointment right now. Like, and that is part of it. Like, Palmer getting injured, I'm supposed to have this everybody-eats offense with two other guys that have been paid guaranteed money behind him, veterans in the league who have had big seasons, relatively, Curtis Samuel and Elijah Moore. And Palmer gets hurt and is like, I don't have anything. I feel like I can't trust either one of those guys to give you anything.
Yeah.
By the way, the Samuel being a ribs injury, that seems to be an injury that guys usually play through, isn't it? They'll wear one of those vests and they'll, you know, they'll take something and they'll get out there. I feel like rib injuries are ones they play through usually.
When did he get the rib injury?
No idea.
Because he didn't play against Atlanta. Or yes, he did.
Did he? It's hard to tell because even in the games he's active now, you don't see him much.
Right. He's not exactly a part of their offense.
Right.
Yeah. He did not. I mean, if he got against Atlanta, he didn't get a catch. I don't think he played against Atlanta, no. He played in the New Orleans game. That's his most weak. And then he played the Patriots and then did not play again. 2 for 26 against the Patriots and did not play again. So if you play through it, Taylor Rapp has apparently been playing through a knee injury since training camp.
Which is odd, because I don't think he's been on injury reports.
Right.
Or has he?
I don't remember seeing him on too many injury reports. It is a bit curious that Rapp would be all of a sudden out of the lineup, and they're still gathering information on an injury out of a bye. Also, the news on Dorian Strong is no news. So that's definitely not good.
Yeah, like the week before the Atlanta game, Rapp was on the injury report, but with a nose injury. Knee was not listed.
Okay. So he's had a knee injury that has not been on the injury report.
Yep, week before he wasn't on it.
So never having treatment or anything on this knee, just a knee injury.
Yeah.
Now he's out of the lineup. And Jordan Poyer likely goes in. And Poyer yesterday at practice said that the Bills have been practicing like full pads hitting. practicing tackling because their tackling's been so bad. Anyway, 803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. We'll talk with Paul coming up top of the hour. Sabres win last night. If you're on trying to get on board with us, we're working on fixing our phone lines. The stream still down. We're working on fixing that as well. So no YouTube right now, but, you know, we're still here on the radio. Old school.
Without phones?
Yeah, without phones.
That's old school? That's really old school, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
When would phone calls on radio been invented?
It's a good question.
Like the 40s?
I mean, you just threw out a decade, and I don't know which way to go.
Did FDR take calls when he did his fireside chats?
Yeah. They had a screener. They call screener, and they got into whether or not, you know, pass defense or run defense is more important.
You know, they really should fire that Yale coach.
Right. 803-0550. There's the phone number. Just giving it out of habit, but the phone's not currently working. That's okay. We'll continue to talk to you. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I don't think he's right now a guy that you could just put out there by himself and go like beat coverage, really versus any corner. I just don't believe he's that guy yet. I think he's got to be utilized a little bit like they do Shakir. I really think he should become like at least right now, and specifically early in games, just
like
get him the ball in space, like a bubble guy, an RPO guy, ball in space guy. Yeah. He's not whooping people.
Dan Orlovsky on Keon Coleman. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, 803-0550 to call in. Sabres and Leafs tomorrow night, now at 7. Quickly, before we get back to the Bills, what do you think they do with Luukkonen? Does he get a game this weekend? Why else have him here?
I don't know why else you call him up. Yeah, I mean, he needed to show that he could play a game, and he went and played a game. And so, yeah, I would expect it to be Lyon and Luukkonen. As tough as that might be, I mean, the kid played so well last night, Ellis. But I think, you know, you should see if Luukkonen, you can get Luukkonen up and running. That should be your tandem. I don't know what becomes of Ellis. I'd like to see him get another look. And if it goes well, then I might really be tangled up. But it's just not realistic to carry three goalies for very long.
Oh, don't we know it?
Yeah. So they're in a bit of a they have a nice problem in that they've got two guys that are playing well, and the other guy that's just coming back now recalled is supposed to be the best guy of the bunch.
It is pretty Sabres that this would happen.
Yeah. Right.
Like if the guy last night, Ellis, struggles, then there's nothing to talk about.
Yeah, you got no decision at all.
It happens that both guys that are sort of hanging out until Luukkonen is ready have both been good. Lyon, of course, every other game. So now it's kind of, you know, sometimes with the Sabres, you just have to roll your eyes. Like this is one where
Yep.
If they had an easy decision, okay. But they really don't.
No.
And, you know, it wasn't like Lukanen was great last year. They're paying him, though.
Right.
He's had, you know, he's had a good year 2 years ago.
And you have not yet really seen him in the net with this structure, with this group, with them playing, you know, the way that they're trying to play, and mostly have been. I mean, they opened the season with three straight losses, but they played mostly pretty good hockey. Even Montreal Monday night was not a game. They started slow, but they weren't, you know, they limit their limiting chances. They're doing a decent job of that. So I'd be curious to see what Lukanen looks within that. But man, it's hard. You want it quick, but Ellis is such a cool story. It's hard not to, you know, as a goalie dad watching the family, the ride they've been on. The kid's 25 years old, played 4 years of college or junior hockey, 70 some games in the ECHL. Takes him until 25 to get here, and just to have it gone like that because Lukanen's back is tough. Like I don't know. I don't feel comfortable anywhere with this right now.
It kind of always was the plan, though. I mean, he would not be taken aback, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's go to Michael next. Hello.
Hey, guys. Not to pivot off the Sabres, but to piggyback on your last conversation about what they might do, the Bills, that is, at the deadline, I want to kind of plant the flag that, as unexciting as it might be, I think of the Saints receivers, it's Brandon Cooks that would be the most likely that we land. And it just checks all the boxes. He potentially fits the role that Bills fans say that we need. It doesn't ruffle feathers in terms of target share. And if they want to keep the everybody eats mantra, this isn't a name like an Olave or, you know, whoever else has been thrown out there that you come in and you have to get the ball to. And he should be cheap. I think they've alluded to the Emmanuel Sanders era a lot and how much he helped them. That would be an insane return to expect from a Brandon Cooks at this stage, but I think it feels oddly familiar.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I wouldn't expect it to have much of an impact, but I could say that about almost any idea, right? And you're not going to get somebody who's going to, probably anyway, just going to blow up in a good way, unless you're talking about trading a first. Thanks, Michael. What I think about, when I think about this Bean point and, like, would he do it? Well, yes. We want to think that if we were in this position, we wouldn't want to be attached permanently to our old positions. You know, like, that doesn't seem optimal. Just because I thought this then does not mean I have to think this now. That does not seem optimal. But this, for me, is a little bit more than that, which is that he was defiant about thinking that they had the position covered. You can't tell me that we haven't addressed it. You just can't tell me that. Of course we have. Last year, I grant you, you could have told me that. Now you can't, and I've had it. Like, he was defiant about it. I doubt that even still relatively early in the season is always going to be about the playoffs. That hasn't changed. That's when it's going to come to fruition, and that's when we had our problems last year. Not during the season when Mac Hollins was their number one, I guess, but it was in January where they did not have the go-to guy. That's the complaint, right? That they just do not have that guy,
right.
And the playoffs revealed it. I just doubt, given how defiant he was, and just like thinking, if it were me here, I'm not ready to concede defeat on this yet. I'm not ready to capitulate yet. Yeah, my offense is struggling for it. I mean, it's relative because they were, you know, flying for a while and most of last year. But I had two bad games, if you want, and I had injuries. And now you want me to do what? Like trade a day two asset for somebody that could, this would not be Brandon Cooks, but somebody that would just sort of have force you to recalibrate the whole pecking order and everything like that. Because that anything short of that is really almost irrelevant, I think. You know, you're almost going to
right,
waivers.
If they were
going to
trade for Brandon Cooks, I would say, why bother?
Right. Just like sort of, it borders on being irrelevant. I just doubt that he's ready to capitulate on this. And I really would understand it because it's still early enough. There is the injury point. Let me see this through, all right? I told you what I thought. We did what we did, or we didn't do what we didn't do. And now I want to see what it is when it really matters, which is where we're not there yet. We're not to the point. I mean, it's the games are important, but I don't have a verdict on this yet in my mind that would tell me as somebody that did it this way that I was wrong.
I think that's the best point that you can make in this from that position. We have two more games before the deadline. Let's see. I probably won't have Palmer. I mean, if he's week to week, I mean, I guess there's some chance he could be back next week because they did have a bye week in between here. But I'm definitely not I'm with Sal expecting to hear him and Rapp and Daquan Jones ruled out tomorrow morning when McDermott joins Sal on the Extra Point Show here on WGR. But the rest of it, the key thing in within that is that it's in the past that he was defiant about it. Was a lot has happened since then. You know, the games, the standings. Does he have Josh Allen banging on his door? I mean, I figuratively speaking, you know, through Joe Brady or through Sean McDermott, does he have Sean McDermott banging on his door? Like, where's we need another guy? McDermott might be more aligned with this than we think. I don't know. I think there would be pressure for him to concede, and I don't think it has to be embarrassing. Because it's pro sports. Things do change. You know, if he even needs to address it, like, I believed what I believed then, and it changed. That's it. It doesn't have to be that hard. So I know that he made a spectacle out of it. They chose to make a spectacle even further out of it, like highlighting it in their draft recap video and stuff. And, you know, so they went hard at it. I don't think any of that has to matter, and frankly, if it does to him, then that would be the most alarming thing I could hear about the guy that's running the Bills, is that he doesn't have, he's too proud of his previous opinion and his previous stance to admit, I need to change course. Because what are you trying to do? You're trying to win the Super Bowl while Josh Allen is still the weapon that he is. And if these are all big ifs, okay? If your quarterback, if your coordinator, if your coach suspect or have even told you, we need more, we need something else, we don't have it, whatever it is, then your job is to try to facilitate that. And again, that we maybe won't even know how hard he tries, if he tries at all to do it, because, you know, like I said earlier, the Saints want to trade all their guys, including Brandon Cooks from the previous caller. But they don't necessarily have to make a trade with the Bills. They might like the picks they think they could get from a team they might think will finish behind the Bills in the draft order, or above the Bills in the draft order. You know, behind the Bills in the standings is all I needed there. Sorry to be confusing about it. I would need him to get over himself. If your premise is correct, I would need him to just get over it. Like, don't be too proud. You're going to hurt. You're hurting yourself in the long run if you don't try to fix something that is ailing your team. If it really is, again, like, they've had all the time to go pour it over. You know, maybe we're all wrong and Josh just needs to throw the ball quicker or something. I don't know. But, man, you shouldn't have a job like that if you can't admit I needed to do a different thing than I thought 6 or 8 months ago.
And that is really a tough accusation. You know, we don't know if that's the case.
That's right.
I'm not saying it. I'm not assuming that Bean is too proud. I just think if I were he, I wouldn't be ready to wave the flag on this didn't work. I still have more reasons, enough reasons to think that it still will. Given I'm somebody who thought it would in the first place, that built it this way purposely, I doubt he's at a point now where, yeah, you know, those guys were right. It's still early enough for me to doubt that. I don't have to be right. 803-0550 for your calls. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
All right, back here on One Bills Live on a Wednesday. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. Phone lines are open at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. That's the number to get on board. And we do have open lines for you, as I said. And discussing anything under the sun, I mean, regarding the Bills, obviously there's some injury concerns that we're going to have to monitor through the course of the week. Hoyt and Ogunjobi back in the fold today, as well as Max Hairston. And we'll have to see where his week goes to determine whether or not he is activated to the active roster. The Bills do have an open roster spot. Two, they had three coming into the week. Two are taken up by Hoyt and Ogunjobi, who returned to the active roster. What they do with that third one will be interesting as the week unfolds. But to the phones we go, and to Bill in Connecticut to lead us off today. What do you got for us, Bill?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Love sure. The show, as you know. Three things to talk about. One is recently people have been clamoring for Gabe to come up, you know, as soon as he's healthy. I'm not in that group. The 50% catch rate is a problem, as well as I think Josh gets more picks trying to get to Gabe than maybe to other players. I love what he does for the locker room. Everybody says he's a great guy from that point of view. I just don't want to see him on the field. Number two, we've been talking about how to get more juice on the field. I know we talked about, well, you want that guy who's going to, you know, start a fist fight over darts, or if there's a fight on the field, he's not in it, get in it. We have a guy like that, Alec Anderson, and I'm just wondering if we saw more of him. I know it comes at the expense probably of Jackson Hawes, but I wonder if we saw more of him, if we get some of that juice, because that's certainly his reputation. And then finally, I do love the Everybody Eats. I would like it to be more like last year, where everybody eats, but not everybody eats this game, you know, where they find a matchup, you know, like we had in the Detroit game, and they just work that. So it doesn't have to be everybody eats every game. So those are my thoughts. I'm looking forward to hearing from you, and as always, go Bills.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Some good thoughts there. I liked your last point the most because you're right. Everybody does eat, but it seemed to be a different guy, you know, getting firsts in a given week. You know, it would be, to your point, Ty Johnson matched up on linebackers and going for 115 yards against the Lions. Another week it might be Cook just running the other defense to death,
or
with a couple of choice run plays that worked uncommonly well against a given opponent. Yeah, Coleman against the Seahawks for 125 yards.
Coleman in week one this year against the Ravens. He played well. So that makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah, some energy. I don't Yeah, I don't think they're willing to make a roster move that would involve taking Hawes off the field or whatever. I think they like what he gives them. And certainly, yeah, Alec Anderson is one of those, finger quotes, energetic guys that we talk about who doesn't mind a little confrontation on the field. And, of course, Brownie and I, we made our thoughts about the wide receiver room self-evident as far as Gabe is concerned. So, yeah, and I get that. The everybody eats thing worked last year because it did kind of rotate.
Yep.
Teams had to decide, and the Bills would exploit their game plan because the Bills had more faith in the guy they left uncovered than their opponent had faith in that guy being able to hurt them. And the Bills were right most of the time.
Yes. And I would tend to agree with Steve's point on Alec Anderson. You can't prioritize his insertion into the lineup over what you think your best game plan will be. So if he right. is not part of it, you don't put him on the field solely for juice. To Steve's point that he made earlier this week, if you don't have guys that are juiced up to play every single week, you don't have the right guys. So it requires self-motivation from that standpoint. And yes, it would be nice to have guys on the roster that can get other guys juiced up, but most of the time, that's got to come from within. And if it doesn't, and your play is affected by the lack of it, you're probably going to find a seat on the bench pretty soon because the film doesn't lie. Let's go to Glenn in Newfane next. What's up, Glenn?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thanks Good. For having me. Sure. My comments today are regarding comment and question regarding the tush push. First of all, my question, and then my comment, if I can, the question is, where did it go? Why is it gone? During the Atlanta game, we had Cook probably around the 50-yard line trying to run into basically there were three or four Falcons right in the middle of the field. I knew he wasn't going to get very far, but it seemed like the tight end that was right there was hesitant about even getting it going. So I don't know if they're being told. My question would be, would they be being told that they should not be doing it? I mean, it's kind of weird, but my one comment is that I think it's gone at the end of the year, and that's another, I guess, question if you guys agree or disagree. The one other little thing I just thought of, the guards during the Eagles game that I just saw last week, seeing them basically fall starting underneath and jumping the ball, you know, thinking they're in like a little cocoon where nobody can see them. I've seen the Bills do that a couple times. I don't know if it was a mistake. You got all that sea of humanity in there. So it's going to happen. But that's something I believe the officials, if you guys agree or disagree, will be looking out for, because it is egregious. It is obvious when you got a good camera angle on it that is, it's the death knell of the tush push.
Yeah, the problem with it, Glenn, and thanks for the call. The problem with it is hard for the linesman on the sideline to see the false starts by the guards on that play. That's the problem, and that's why it's not being called enough, even though it's yeah. patently obvious to us because we have the benefit of ideal camera angles on those.
Philly plays. Did get called for a false start this past weekend on the tush push. That's the real problem with the play, because there has been many times when they do false start. And the officials just can't see it. They're too far away. It happens too fast. And it's too hard to officiate. And that's been one of the main arguments for the play or against the play, is that it's too difficult to officiate. It's not that anybody wants to let a team get away with what the Eagles are doing in the play we're watching right now. So they can't see it. So, yeah, the tush push, its days may be numbered. I don't know how they would word the verbiage to, you know, what as to what teams will be allowed to do, because they're not going to let, you know, disallow a quarterback sneak, right? How they would word it is the real crux of the issue, because they're going to have to let a quarterback keep it.
Right. They're just going to not allow teammates to assist him from behind, presumably.
Yeah, maybe,
but then are you
they can let everybody else do that.
Then are you taking all plays out of the game that involve teammates pushing players to advance the ball further for more forward progress?
Yeah, the offensive lineman can't push the pile then.
That's the slippery slope.
That the ripple effects are the problem as well. So all of that goes in. And I get it, dude. The Bills seem to have stopped running it. That may be something Josh quietly told Joe Brady. Said, "Listen, I don't want to run that anymore." And told
Josh
Sean
did have a 1 yard run for a touchdown against Baltimore in Week One.
Yeah, he went over the top.
Yeah.
So maybe Josh has said, "You know what, guys, I'm kind of done with that. Let's not do that."
Or maybe
anymore.
The team doesn't want to expose him because we know what Coach McDermott's thoughts were in the spring owners' meetings last spring when he was asked about it. He said it is a safety issue in his mind.
Yeah,
for players. So maybe that's why we're seeing less of it. So.
Well, it's a safety issue for the most important player, right? So, because, So, yeah, the tush push may be numbered if the officials can start getting it right, like they did this last weekend against Philly. They called them for a false start, and all of a sudden it went from a first down or a goal or a touchdown, whatever it was, I think it was going to be a first down, to they had to try a field goal.
Third and five or fourth
so
and five.
So it went from, it went from fourth and zero to fourth and
five
plus zero. You know, so they ended up kicking the field goal. So that may cool it for the offenses. Or they may just try, start being disciplined, run it the right way instead of cheating.
Let's go to Steve in Florida. What's up, Steve?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I always enjoy your show. I wanted to say, about this game coming up on Sunday with the Panthers. Now, looking back at the game against the Falcons, I'm totally mystified with the Bills, what they did in the third quarter. They got the ball first. They scored. So they're down 21-14. Okay, so here they have potentially to not only catch up but go ahead, and the defense stepped up. And got the ball back to Josh and company, but then they do this stuff where they're running the sweep. They're not giving the ball to Cook, and I think that's a real key. That's what I want to say for this game. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Cook's got to get more touches on rushing and receiving. They've got to utilize the man. I mean, they gave him all that money for his extension, and let Josh be Josh, but don't tinker with this stuff they did that obviously doesn't work. The other thing I wanted to say is I'm really excited to see Hoyt, especially in Okungjobi, coming in. I think that's really going to give the Bills defense the boost that they need. So I'm expecting the Bills to come out big and win this game if they let the offense do what we know that they can do.
All right. Thanks for the call, Steve. I would agree on Cook's usage. He's got a $48 million contract in his hand. Make use of him. You saw what the 49ers did last week with McCaffrey. They don't have Ayuk at receiver, no Juwan Jennings. Kittle's just getting back from injury. They used McCaffrey left, right, and center. I'm not saying that Cook's got to be your number one pass protector on third down, but there's no reason he can't be on the field in addition to Ty Johnson. Especially if you're down Palmer and Kincaid again this week. He's got to be a bigger factor in your passing game because you're reduced weapons.
Yeah, if they're going to fumble the ball, that's not on the coaching staff. And it's a simple end-around play. They've messed it up twice this season, and it's cost them big time. They messed it up before that, too. In years past. So don't do that anymore. I get it. But if they do it in practice and they can execute it, you do it until they stop messing it up. The one they missed on the opening day, or maybe it wasn't opening day, perhaps it was one of the subsequent games of this season when Dawson Knox was going to get the handoff, and they messed that up, and he fumbled it away. That play was wide open. That was going to be a big gain, and, they couldn't execute it. That's not a play selection problem. That's an execution problem. That's on the players, not the coaches. This offense and defense as well is never going to look as good as it should look or as good as it can look, as good as it should look when they're getting 10 penalties a game and turning it over offensively.
Six turnovers last three games.
They can't do that and look their best. When they don't turn it over and when they don't get stupid penalties, particularly lining up offsides penalties and stuff like that, and false start penalties, when they're not doing that, they are too tough a team to beat for most other ball clubs.
Yeah. And Coach McDermott said as much today, and I know we got to get to the break here, but very quickly, Coach McDermott was asked if there was a theme to the penalties, you know, with 30 in the last three games, and he said there were two themes. One, too many line of scrimmage penalties, and two, too many holding penalties. And holding penalties come down to technique, but also sometimes the guy that's engaged with a block, he's blocking and having inside leverage, and then the ball carrier decides, well, I got to bounce the run outside. Well, now they're out of position. And to try to hold leverage on that, you're going to hold the player. And so coach has said, we've already preached to the players, if the ball carrier takes the ball outside and you no longer have leverage on the block, you've got to let go. You can't keep hanging on because it is a refs will call that holding 10 times out of 10. And so if you feel like the ball carrier is moving outside of you, you've got to let go because you're not going to have leverage and you're not going to win back leverage based on how the play was originally designed. Got to take a break here. More of your phone calls when we come back. Lead off with a bunch. We got a bunch of you here waiting on hold. So we'll lead off with Bill in Texas when we return here on One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Football Friday. Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline. It is Jeremy and Joe. Good morning. Owen Parker is here. Dandale producing with you on a Friday. TGIF and TG. The bye week is over, and we're on to regular football, too. I don't know the letters for that.
I mean, it's our first like normal football Friday since the New England week, right?
Right, because
Atlanta was
Monday,
a Monday
night.
You get the bye week.
We get a Sunday 1 o'clock game on the road.
You know, we mentioned, Sal actually mentioned this, I think, earlier in the week. The normalized schedule coming up, a lot of Sundays, all going to be like 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, except that Houston game. But, Sal, I don't know if you've looked this deep into it. What did we find? There's a game late in the year. Is it Bills-Bucks?
Bills,
no,
Bills-Patriots.
The Bills at New England game.
Could be flexed to Monday Night Football.
Because there's a bad, like the Dolphins are in it. There's like a bad Monday Night game, and they have flex scheduling that late in the season.
Yeah, it's Dolphins-Steelers.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the Steelers are strong enough to keep there no matter what.
Because like Miami's going to be such
right,
a
right, because everyone would say the Cowboys do not get flexed out. I don't know about the Steelers. We have to see about that. Good morning, Sal.
Yeah.
Good morning. I just...
When's the last time do we know of, and I'm not saying it hasn't happened, I don't know, that two teams played primetime in the same season twice?
Right. Good question.
A game. Like I don't know if the league would do that. They already played Sunday night against each other.
Yeah. Maybe. Or you might have.
Wait a minute. When the Bills and Dolphins played in Week 18, did they play primetime earlier in the year? Because that got flexed.
That was 2022, I believe, or 2023?
2023, right? Yeah, it comes down to the final game.
Let me look up real quick. So 2020, no, it was a, okay, that was a, okay, let's go back to the
one. You
know,
it's, okay,
that,
I've got
that
it.
Year.
It was not a night game.
It was a 1 o'clock game. It was the hot game they played that year.
Gotcha.
No, oh, okay. No, I have the 2023. The funny thing is, that's the Dorsey year. They fire Dorsey, and they come back to win the division by in the game that's flexed in at night in Miami.
Okay.
So it's kind of funny to think about. When did they need to go to Miami in primetime? The same year they beat them 48-20, and the offensive coordinator got fired a couple weeks later after like what was such a high.
Yeah. So. Well, I think one way or another, like, or maybe it's a 4:25 game later on in the year because that's a big window too. Because man, the idea that that Bills Patriots game wouldn't be massive, I think, is a strong underdog. Like most outcomes, I think Bills at Patriots is going to be a huge, huge game.
I would say this though: look around the board too. Are there any others? Chargers, Chiefs is that week as well, but they've already also played, obviously,
right,
in a primetime game. Just looking to see. Ooh, Lions Rams is a game that weekend. Now that's already that would probably be protected. It looks like that's already a national window for 4:25. So yeah, it's possible.
Maybe there's a
chance. Yeah, I thought about that too. The possibility of a flex game later in the year
could
happen. But in the meantime, until that happens, it's basically
Sundays.
You know, Sundays, except for one Thursday game the week before Thanksgiving.
Right. You're right though. It is a great week. Green Bay, Denver, Indy, Seattle, and in addition to Bills, Patriots. Anyway, that's December 14th. We got time to get there. Sal, we've got some injuries to watch today. Sean McDermott, when you speak with him, we'll see if he rules anybody out of this game. The limited players are the ones, of course, we're thinking about the most here, right? We're thinking about Dalton Kincaid, Curtis Samuel, among others. So let's get to the injury report, the Barnes Firm injury report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. What names are we really most keyed on today? Is it those two? Are there any more?
Like, I think the five guys who are limited are the ones we're really watching because several of them did not play against the Atlanta Falcons. Dalton Kincaid, two of them, Dalton Kincaid and Curtis Samuel, because Matt Milano didn't play. So I think those are the three guys. Terrell Bernard did, but you know, when Sean McDermott spoke earlier in the week, he termed all these guys basically day to day. When you say day to day, they practice all week. They're limited. I think it's trending well. So Terrell Bernard, Dalton Kincaid, Matt Milano, Curtis Samuel, all limited. Now, Max Harrison is on the injury report as limited because the rule a couple years ago was changed. Once a guy becomes designated to return, you have to start listing him on the injury report no matter what until he's actually on the roster. I mean, that is a guy that we'll be asking about today, and I'll be asking, like, what is his status? Is it possible he could play this weekend? I mean, I don't think so. That would be really interesting if all of a sudden we're like, if you hear Sean McDermott on the Extra Points show say, you know, it's possible or he won't rule out the fact that Max Harrison could play. I think that's interesting and that'd be notable because he's been practicing only for a week. I think it's a bit too early for that, but we'll see. And then I wouldn't be surprised if he already rules out Daquan Jones, Joshua Palmer, and Taylor Rapp. None of them have practiced yet this week. And in fact, Jones and Palmer, not only did he call week to week, but he didn't even rule out them going on IR when asked about it.
Do you think, Sal, with the two linebackers being, you know, dealing with something here but limited, so maybe they play, this is a team that can run the ball in Carolina. What do you think Shaq Thompson's role is here? Like, could you see him, even if it maybe is, like, injury-related, like, hey, maybe we want to protect Milano a little bit. I doubt Bernard would be limited at all, but could you see Thompson playing a majority of the snaps, even with both of those two linebackers being back in the lineup, if they are?
I think it really would just depend on the personnel usage by the Panthers. I don't think it's a, this team runs the ball, so we're going to put Shaq Thompson on the field. You mean in addition, like a third linebacker, Joe, or in place of somebody?
I guess even for just this week, like whether it's because of Thompson's play or because of Milano's injury, that Thompson would be the guy that would be out there every down and Milano would be the one that'd be in and out based on packages.
I don't think so. I think if Milano and Bernard are both healthy, they're playing, and they're your two linebackers. That's it. Like that's to me, I don't think you're subbing them in and out. Those are your three down linebackers. Mm-hmm. They're playing middle. They're playing weak. I think it only comes down to what personnel you have at outside of them, which is either it's going to be nickel or it's going to be a third linebacker. And in that case, you're probably mostly looking at, Terrem Johnson, obviously, at nickel, and then Shaq Thompson. But I do want to throw in here that Michael Hoyt is back. And I think Michael Hoyt becomes interesting here because I don't think right away you're seeing him as a third linebacker, but I do think he gives you options if you want to have an extra guy on the field to help stop the run and you want to kind of form it and shape it in a different way. You could do that. He doesn't have to be necessarily a stand-up defensive end, which he is. I'm looking right now. Let's see how much 12 personnel the Carolina Panthers run. Not a lot. They're 18th in the NFL in 12 personnel, two tight ends. So to me, that probably means more nickel this week than any. They're very good at running the ball. But it's not about running the ball. It's about what personnel uses they use.
Sal Capaccio with us. Hoyt, by the way, it'll be curious to see how they want to line him up. I think most expect, he'll play edge the most, but then he could play a bunch of other different things. What do you feel like is second? Like him kicking inside? You just mentioned, he has done it where he's a stand-up linebacker, kind of like how Lorenzo Alexander used to play. But I don't know, what's the thing he does the second most, I guess, is a question I have.
It's a good question. I think probably kicking inside and passing downs, yeah. I mean, probably doing that, being able to, you're probably going to want to move him around there to get a little bit more of an interior pass rush, be a little bit, faster, off the ball, kind of beat some of the bigger guys. A team that's not threatening to run on a certain play. It's 3rd and 7. You're probably not looking at a run. You kick him inside. Then you can have Greg Rousseau on the outside one and Joey Bosa the outside the other. I think that's probably a package you're probably looking at. But it's a good question. It's, his number one is going to be stand-up defensive end. And even then, I wonder, what does that look like? Because you do have Bosa. You do have Rousseau. You do have Epinesa, right? How much of a rotation are you having with all four of those guys?
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline ahead of Bills Panthers on this Football Friday. Have a Twitter pull up, offense, defense, which you're more eager to see a well-played game out of. The defense, of course, getting some new pieces back, and we'll see to what extent. We'll take some calls as well for Sal here. Mark in Coconut Creek. Mark, good morning. You're on with Sal.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Football Friday. I've got a question and a comment, and maybe you can shed some light on it. At this stage in his career, Josh being a league MVP, so how much, power does he have to change plays and dictate the game plan a little bit more? Because I just feel like he's third on the totem pole between McDermott and the offensive coordinator. And, I just want to see some fire from him. I want to see him snap on somebody and just show some more energy because – I watch Brady and Rodgers, Mahomes, Peyton Manning. They were in the coach's ear a little bit, and I just don't see McDermott and Josh communicating during the game. Maybe I'm missing something.
Thanks, Mark. There's a growing conversation about this, and it's going to happen when you struggle. We have a two bad games, Sal, but people are maybe you're seeing this too, noticing how when it's on the cameras on him on the sidelines, kind of just sitting, not talking to anybody. And then Allen this week, the first part of the story was his grandma called and says she wants him to smile. And then he said he's got to get his head out of the sand, lead from the front. And I wonder how you took that, if that kind of lines up with maybe what Mark is saying. Is Allen talking about taking a little more ownership here or being a little more vocal? What was your takeaway on what Allen had to say when relaying that story this week?
Yeah, I'll talk about that, and then I'll get to a couple of things he asked because there was a lot in there. I think being more – remember, what was the saying that we would call Josh low-key or something?
A couple of years ago, he talked about being low-positive, and that was in the –
Low-positive.
That was in the throes of the everything looks hard in the Dorsey offense, and we were battling for his brain every single week.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's kind of been a little bit like that, and he's probably – Josh can be a really energetic guy, but he's mature, he's older, he goes to work every day, right? It's what he does. And I think what he's saying and the way I took it was, maybe I need to be a little more energetic. Maybe I need to be a little more fiery, and that'll bleed a little bit in everybody, and we can kind of, feel ourselves again a little bit better because we've been struggling here. I think that's the way I took it. I don't think what he was saying was I need to start yelling at people, right? I think that's what the caller wants. I don't know what that does for anybody, right? Here's the thing. When you say, and a caller says, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, it's got to be your personality to do it too, right? You can't be fake. When you've been in the league 8 years, you don't run up the sidelines yelling at people. You're not going to start doing it in year nine and suddenly like, wait a minute, what's going on here, right? Like, it's got to be like that. It doesn't mean that he can't be into the game and he can't be super like, oh my God, you know, go up to somebody and say, hey, what are we doing here? What's going on? Caller says, I don't see him talking to Sean McDermott during the game. Well, Sean McDermott's the head coach and he's also a defensive coach. Joe Brady is the offensive coordinator. He's up in the box. When Josh comes off the field, I try to explain this to people every week who ask me this question, because when you see on TV, what you see on TV is like literally maybe 5% of what's happening on the sidelines. When he comes off the field, the first thing he does is go to the bench and sit down and grab a tablet. The next thing that happens is Ronald Curry comes over and sits with him, next to him, or kneels in front of him, along with Mitch Trubisky. They're all right there together. Even Shane Buechele, all of them. And they're looking at the tablet and they're trying to figure out, what's the defense doing? What are we doing? In the meantime, if he has to talk to Joe Brady, he can relay and talk to Joe Brady that way. So I think there's a misconception about what's happening on the sidelines and how communication works. Like, it's not like he's not going up to Sean McDermott and yelling at him about what plays to run. Sean McDermott's trying to coach a game, right? That's not what's happening in that moment. And maybe you see that from other coaches and quarterbacks who are more of the play callers in those situations.
Yeah,
but
direct...
that's just not how it works, you know, in most NFL games.
I'm imagining that, like, some fans want what? They want the... What, remember the video of Tom Brady blowing up with Bill O'Brien on the sideline?
Right.
I mean,
right.
One, that's even if you do want that, that's not possible because Joe Brady's up in the booth.
That's right.
Well, all right, but let's kind of remove that, because there's yelling at, and then there's firing up and being a cheerleader. Because in that answer, Sal, from Alan, is, if nothing else, like an admission or an acknowledgement that he hasn't been that this year. And I guess I would wonder, what happened? Like, where has it gone? Because the idea that he's not juiced up and into games, he throws up before every game. And everybody talks about how, you know, the energy he plays with when he celebrates, when he flexes on opponents, and McDermott says, I love that swagger. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe Alan is saying, if we remove the yell at teammates part of it, he's saying he's feeling like he should probably try to get some swagger back, because that's been missing.
But, and I also think he's even said practice, didn't he? He mentioned practice, I think, when he was talking, if I go back and remember. And I'm thinking, I think he's talking about through the week even, not even just in a game, not a game day, right? On game day, there's so much going on. What happened? What's the defense doing? Let's figure this out before we go out for our next series and all that. For sure, you make a really great play. And he does. They all celebrate, and he still does that particular thing. You know, there's two parts to this, which is when positive plays happen and getting really into it and celebrating and being the swagger. And then there's when negative plays happen and people want to see him get on people and yell at somebody. I think after the play where Elijah Moore, that I've referenced a couple times this week, where they miscommunicated, he looked frustrated, right? Like, he kind of snapped his chin strap off, right? Like something like that. I think, and did we see, and I didn't particularly see him like go to Elijah Moore and say something, and I don't know if he would or he did, or even if he blames him necessarily, right? Whatever it is, maybe he's blaming himself, I'm not sure. Maybe that's an instance where people want to see something like that, and that's in a more of a negative light. I also, though, when he talked this week about it, I took it more even as throughout the week, not just on game day, right? Which is throughout the week being that guy to, hey, maybe this is what we need a little bit more of at practice when we're kind of doing everything that we're doing and scoring and all those kinds of things. So, yeah, I don't know. I think I'm trying to hit on everything the caller said, because there was a lot in there. And I'm like, I just think that there's a perception of what happens there. And it's not wrong that maybe that, you know, people say, I want to see him smile more like the grandma. But man, if you're expecting this guy just to run off the field and start like going up and down the sidelines and yelling at people, that's just not how it works.
David in Cleveland is up next. Hey, David, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I find it lunacy that we're relitigating this whole conversation about wide receiver again. It seems like year after year we're back at the same point. And it's sort of a departure from how Brandon Bean operated prior to Stephon Diggs. When he went out and in that draft with the great wide receivers that came down, Justin Jefferson and so on, and a lot of the draft Knicks projected Justin Jefferson to drop to us, and it turns out that was correct at our draft position. But Brandon Bean ignored the draft Knicks and said, I'm going to go out and get a difference maker now. And they went out and got Stephon Diggs. And what was Stephon Diggs' trait? An elite separator, a master, a tactician with route running. So now you fast forward to the draft with Ladd McConkey and the draft several years ago, where the Bills went out and took Keon Coleman. It just doesn't make a lot of sense what they did. I mean, what led to Josh Allen's ascension? It was Diggs. And what is Diggs? Again, an elite route runner. Fast, but a tactician. What was Ladd McConkey? Same thing. Do the Kansas City Chiefs worry about having a lot of guys sort of similar characteristics? Because I know you guys touched on it earlier, saying that, you know, he's basically a Khalil Shakir, and we all know that's not the case. What's Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy and Rishi Rice? They're kind of sort of similar in a lot of ways. The Chiefs don't seem to worry about that. And I think, you know, until Brandon Bean gets back to the basics and looks at and tries to look at what was successful in the past, rather than trying to grasp against straws, Josh Allen is never going to get the help he needs.
Thanks, David, for the phone call.
I do think, by the way, that really quick, before Sal, I turn over, you're like, some of those guys are a little different. McConkey is a, I think, you want to describe him as a route runner and a technician at that kind of stuff. I think you're right. I don't think Worthy is quite that. No, Worthy's pretty good at that stuff, but he's a good player because of his elite speed.
The Chiefs have a couple of raw speed guys.
I don't know. Like, the question there to me sounds like, do the Bills know at this moment that they need that?
Maybe. I took the question as, and Sal, we'll get your thoughts on it, why don't the Bills value separation the way that they used to? Because it was more than just Diggs. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders, John Brown was speed and separation.
Beasley
could do a lot of good things. Like, they had a lot of that. And now it seems like, if nothing else, like, the way they want to build is to have the receiver roles a little bit more defined. And, you know, we talk about Palmer as the one that beats man. And he's kind of the one. Past that, you might even get more from Khalil Shakir or Elijah Moore or Curtis Samuel if you could use them more down the field and tried some more things. I don't know. It's a lot there, Sal. But suffice to say that Keon Coleman is under the microscope these days.
Yeah, for sure. You know, when Josh was drafted, I know for sure that a big thought for them was to get guys, if he's not going to be the most accurate quarterback because he wasn't coming out of college and you have to work on that and they're going to, you know, develop that more, was to get guys with large catch radiuses. You guys remember the first group he worked
yes.
with, right?
Yeah. Kelvin Benjamin and Andre Holmes.
And I remember thinking, that's not the best idea.
Right.
Yeah. And then they went for
separators.
Well,
that was the thought.
Yeah.
Right, that was the thought. And then it went more towards, you know what, just get guys who are going to get open, and he's going to throw it to them. And they went more to that. That was John Brown. That was Cole Beasley. When Bean makes the trade for Diggs, people can say all they want to this day, like, oh, my God, they could have waited on Justin Jefferson. That's fine. The Bills needed somebody who was established a number one at that time. Like, that was what they needed. I don't think that I don't think it was the wrong move to get a Stephon Diggs for Josh Allen. Look what happened. Josh Allen elevated, right, and became an elite quarterback having Stephon Diggs. So that was a great, you know, a thing for him at that time and what the Buffalo Bills needed. I think what happened over the years is, because of Stephon's aura, personality, and I'm not saying that he was a bad teammate or anything like that, but it became clear that, man, when you have a number one receiver that, you know, needs targets here, this quarterback, this offense does not function as well when there's that particular pressure to get him, right? And I think, you know, maybe there's been too much, to me, there's been too much of a lean into, let's not have one of those because we don't want to have that happen again. And now maybe you have to go revisit that and say, well, wait a minute. I think we do need one of those, but you got to have the right personality as well.
I just also don't know where anyone would get that offense didn't work. I mean, they finished third multiple times. And on points per game, we did the math yesterday, Sal. Like, they had a year where they had more points per game in those years than they did last year. The Bills like to say last year broke records, and that's in part because there was a 17th game. They did have a higher points per game previously in an Allen offense. So I know that's not necessarily the point you're making, but we know why they kind of went the way they did. They want to be multiple. They want to be able to run the ball and also like kind of win that way and be more difficult from a matchup standpoint. So, you know, hopefully the build that they want, we can see a little more of it this week against Carolina. And, you know, will the downfield passing game come back at any point? We'll find out. I feel like in the building, there's certainly a discussion that they'd like to get it back.
No doubt. No doubt. I thought about your poll this morning, too, which is offense or defense. It's funny. I think I might lean towards I'd rather see the defense kind of step it up and show they can stop the run a little bit and say and feel good about the two additions coming in, Hoyt and Ogunjobi, and even, you know, say, okay, then Max Harrison's coming in. Because I actually think even if the offense struggles, I always have faith it'll turn around eventually because they have Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's just kind of the way I look at it. Where if you continue to struggle on defense and an Andy Dalton-led offense, by the way, probably, mm-hmm. you're going to be facing, I think there's still more of a, oh, man, this is just going to be what's going to happen all year. I'm not going to keep feeling that about the offense. Even if the offense struggles and doesn't score 20 points, I think I'm still going to have it there. Okay, they have Josh Allen. They'll make a move. There'll be something. They'll be okay. They can run the ball. Weather will turn. They'll be fine. I'll probably feel that way even if the offense struggles. I think if the defense struggles with adding in the two guys against Andy Dalton, I'm not going to feel nearly as right. good about the prospects of the future.
You have a smirk on your face, Joe.
Yeah, no, it's kind of like it's the question of like I've got two scores in my mind right now. What would you rather have? And both, I'll make them both Bills wins, just because okay. everyone can be happy on some level. Would you rather have them win 20-14, or would you rather have them win 41-35?
Most people would say 41-35. I think. Because
yeah.
every year they've come out of a two-game...
Even though 35 against Andy Dalton would look like...
Every year they've come out of a two-game losing streak and they've kind of got back on track, it's because they start scoring like 35 points.
Right.
I think the answer to me, Joe, unfortunately, and I know that you 2014? Can't do this, would be how you get to the high points. Because
sure.
is it end of the game garbage time? You know what I mean? But if Andy Dalton's right. lighting up their defense, mm-hmm. I'm not going to feel that good about it. And
right.
if Josh Allen and the offense can't score, it won't feel as good, but... I'll still believe. Look at the Carolina Panthers defense is pretty good, actually. Look at their numbers.
It's much improved this yep. year, it is. I thought,
right?
When Joe, you got that smirk on your face, I thought the question you were going to ask was some version of like, should I work for the offense to struggle so they're more inclined to make a move to make it better?
No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not rooting for the offense to tank.
I've seen that smirk before. I thought,
yeah,
you know,
no.
I've had that smirk before. All right. Thank you, Sal.
You got it, guys. I'll have Sean McDermott on, and probably it looks like we're going to be a little after 11 a.m. today
okay.
so we can get the injury yep. report and designations. But you never know. The production meetings, things like that,
yep.
always going on a Friday, but it looks like a little after 11 a.m.
Very good. Sal's got the Extra Point Show at 10 o'clock. Thanks, Sal. 803-0550. Back to your phone calls in a minute. Our phones are back up. Our stream is back up. You know, we're firing on all cylinders just in time to get into a weekend.
We still don't know officially that lines 5 and 6 work.
This
so
is true.
We've
got to fill up lines 5 and 6 and make sure those work. 803-0550, but we'll get to the people that are on hold next. And a treat, a Friday treat. Howard picks the Bills. On a Friday, Howard picks the Bills. And he's going to pick them again on, like, what, Tuesday next week? So we got to see what the two consecutive losses, the bye week. Does he have a rant inside of him? Like, let's find out. Howard picks the Bills. And more of your calls. Chris Brown at 8:30. Mike DiStefano on the Jays and the Leafs, who are in town at 9:30 here on
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
UGR.
Deep drop for Hurts, trying to find something downfield. And it's Devontae Smith. He's loose. He's got it. He is gone. Touchdown, Eagles!
First and goal for New England. Ramondre Stevenson walks it in for a touchdown.
Lutz, 39-yard field goal for the win. He got it! Denver has won!
To get the gifts, they close it out. And here he is on the run. Inside. Pushing the pile to the goal line. In for the touchdown! Have a day, have a night. CMC.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Hey, I'll take a couple of those. I had it was a fantasy day, right? Watch the fantasy team yesterday. I'll take a couple of those. I had Will Lutz. I have Will Lutz as my fantasy kicker. And CMC, baby. Christian McCaffrey. Went to bed last night not exactly knowing what the final score was, and then we knew it was close late. CMC was having a good night. Woke up this morning. I'm like, hey, did a really good job. Hi, everybody. Sal Capaccio with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on a Buffalo Football Monday. And if I hope I should sound the same to you. Always a little bit different when you're in a different spot. Might look different to you as well. If you're on the stream, hi, Bullpen, everybody. We're on YouTube streaming at WGR550. And the reason is that I am in a totally different studio. I am at the WSBU studios down at St. Bonaventure University, a student radio station. And they're nice enough to have me down here today to be speaking to a whole bunch of students in the sport management program in the School of Business and students from sports media. So if you're a St. Bonaventure student, you're like, I was going to blow off class today. Yeah, don't do that. Come on. Or maybe you can and still come listen to me speak because I'll be talking to some people today. And some students about life and sports and business and media and everything that goes along with it. But just kind of about like the journey, right? And getting here and how it's different, a different path for everybody. So I appreciate them having me down here today. Got up this morning. It's about an hour and a half ride from, you know, Buffalo. I live in the city. And nice little ride, though. Got to listen to Jeremy and Joe this morning on my way down. Sometimes I think Jeremy and Joe get mad because I text them. I hear things that they're saying and I'm not on with them and I text them. Like they're talking about Mac Hollins and him leaving the Bills and now playing for the New England Patriots and you know what some people might say and how it went down or how the Bills basically were like, well, we thought we'd get him back. We didn't. And I'm texting them, you know, my perspective from what I know, what happened for Mac Hollins. And I'm like, do they even want to hear from me right now? I'm not really sure. But too bad. They're going to because I'm listening to them and listening to a lot of you. 803-0550 is the telephone number to call. We're going to keep this as a regular Buffalo Football Monday with one exception. Instead of a reaction show to a Bills game, because there's no Bills game, we're going to actually talk a little Sabres as well. Paul Hamilton's going to come your way at 11 a.m. I mean, how about the Buffalo Sabres, folks? They are on a two-game winning streak. And they have a chance tonight in Montreal, who's also playing well, to get back to 500 and actually, no. Oh, great. I love this. Tony B. Sal's texting while driving. Nope. I actually do voice to text and it's probably looks really, really weird. I do a lot of voice to text. I don't do that. So I actually do. What I do is I can't say it now, but hey, you know who? I say text Jeremy and Joe and actually have them on my panel. Bam. I just click it and it says, what do you want to say? And I say, Mac Hollins left for the Buffalo Bills for 2 years, $8.4 million. And up to $10.4 million. And then she reads it back and says, it says, Mac Hollins, do you want to send? Yes, I do that. So there you go. That's a good point, though. Yeah, don't text while driving. But I use CarPlay. So there you go. So Paul's going to come our way at 11 a.m. And he's going to talk a little bit about the Sabres, of course, and them having a chance tonight to get back to 500, believe it or not. And I say 500, right? Getting actually 6 points out of 12 games. Right now, they have 4 points in 10 games, and they're trying to get back in the mix. But we'll do that at 11 a.m. with Paul Hamilton. In the meantime, we got our regular Football Monday features. And, of course, it is a Buffalo Football Monday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com and by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premium Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. So, if you're in the chat, I appreciate it. Hi, Bullpen. As usual, I won't be able to get to a lot of what you're saying because I'm doing the show here and taking phone calls, and we want to take calls still today as a Buffalo Football Monday. I've been thinking about what I watched yesterday. I've been thinking about some of the highlights from the teams that you just heard from. We just heard from what? We heard the Eagles get a big W after they had dropped a couple in a row. Think about the Eagles, right? I mean, they're kind of a bit of a same path as the Bills a little bit here. They were 4-0. Then they just, and they didn't look totally right in some of those wins. And then they drop one to Denver. They drop one to the Giants. And you're like, come on, what are you doing? And then they have a nice win. Didn't look great, but still won against the Vikings. They're 5-2. I think it's kind of a parallel little path here for the Bills. They start 4-0. They lose a game at home to the New England Patriots. Like, yeah, you shouldn't have lost. You think you shouldn't have. Some things that you didn't do right, you'd got to clean up. Then you go out to Atlanta, you lose. And now you need a bounce back. So that was one that we heard from on the highlights there. Another was the Denver Broncos. I mean, how about that? What are you thinking, folks? Were you rooting for Denver or the New York Giants yesterday? Because you could make a case for either. If you want to just go with the whole, oh no, it's NFC against AFC, and you want to make sure you're in a better position at the end of the day and at the end of the season than every team in the AFC as you can, then you're rooting for Denver to lose yesterday to be 4-3, and the Bills would be ahead of them, even though they have the division lead, because at the end of the year, that one game could mean seeding. Or you could have been rooting for Denver to say, no, I need them ahead of the Chiefs still. And they really are. The Chiefs still are in third place in their division. But, I mean, does anybody really think the Chiefs aren't going to take over at least the Chargers, if not more, with the Broncos after what we've seen with the Chiefs? And I want to get into them in a minute. And then we heard San Fran last night. Yeah, San Fran looked better against Atlanta than the Bills did. Atlanta also had a road game on Monday night, a little bit different, but the Bills allowed, if you want to use that word, I guess, Atlanta and Bijan Robinson to have big runs, big night. San Fran didn't do that. San Fran was very good against Bijan last night. And you could say that's another indictment on the Bills' defense and what they haven't been this year. And you wouldn't be wrong looking at the stats and numbers. And then, of course, you had New England. Here come the New England Patriots. They are now 5-2. They lead the AFC East by 1.5 games, essentially, right? They're up a half game. I guess you'd say by one full game, maybe, whatever you want to call it, because now they're up. They're 5-2. The Bills are 4-2, so that's a half game there, but they have the head-to-head, so it's one full game. And since they are head-to-head, the Bills would have to beat them. I say it's like 1.5. The Bills have to beat them out, but you can make that up. But here come the New England Patriots, and Drake May looks really, really good. He set a New England Patriots franchise record. Yes, that's right, the team that used to have Tom Brady, with a 90% completion rate on more than 20 passes. I think he had to have more than 20 to qualify for this whatever stat. But either way, he was, what, I think 23 of 25? Got to go back and look yesterday what his final number was. I think it was trending that way at the very end. Let me look at Drake May. Yesterday he was 21 of 23. There you go. For 222 and two touchdowns. And he looks good. And by the way, they brought in Dobbs comes in for May, who was in concussion protocol for a brief moment. He was in the tent, and he has a 12-yard completion. And the Patriots, it wasn't great until about halftime, and then the second half they kind of took over, and they did what they should do against the Tennessee Titans, you would think. But the Patriots aren't going away, folks. The Patriots are not going away. They are a team that's going to be there, especially considering their schedule. Now, I am interested in how they look the next 2 weeks. They have, really, 3 weeks. Cleveland, because Cleveland's defense is good. And they go to New England next week. And the way New England plays with what I always like to say, not a lot of margin for error, I'm interested to see that offense against the Cleveland defense. The problem is I don't think the Cleveland can outscore them. Even if the Cleveland defense plays well, a low-scoring game, Cleveland probably wins. Then they do get Atlanta at home as well. Then they have to go to Tampa. So the next three games for New England are very interesting. And in the meantime, the Bills have to get back on track themselves, of course. And that starts next week against the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers with another win, 3 in a row. They win 13-6 over the New York Jets. They're just finding ways to win. They're 4-3. And they've lost to New England, by the way, 42-13. And they shut out Atlanta 30-0. Who can figure these games sometimes? And as the Bills head towards Carolina, it just underscores how big of a game this is for them. The Bills have to win this game. You can't come back home next week against a Kansas City Chiefs team after dropping another and going 4-3. You're staring 4-4 right between the eyes. Even if you get to 5-2 for the Bills, 5-3 isn't the greatest start. But you have to win this game to even get there. Because after that, you have the Dolphins, who just look terrible right now. But then it's the Bucks and the Texans and the Steelers and the Bengals, who have some life now. And then the Patriots again. And then that Browns defense and the Eagles. Suddenly, the Bills' schedule, which looked a lot easier, I guess, in the offseason, isn't so much easier anymore. And that happens all the time. 803-0550 is the telephone number to call. All right. Here's what I want to do for the next little while, before we get Paul Hamilton at the top of the hour at least. It's kind of get your temperature and your pulse on where the Bills are, but really what they need to do. Like, what do they need to do? How do they get out of what's happened the last 2 weeks? Jeremy and Joe had a really good poll today and a really good question. And it was basically like, who's to fix it? Who's to fix it? How do you fix it? Is it Joe Brady? Is it Brandon Bean? Is it Josh? They were specifically talking about the offense. If the offense needs fixing. I'm more concerned still about the defense right now. I do think Michael Hoyt will help a lot. Even Larry Ogunjobi, especially because Daquan Jones is out, you need another guy in that rotation because it hurt them losing Daquan before the game. Now, these are not, I'm not telling you that they are Bruce Smith and Fred Smirlis, right, coming back for all of you OG fans, right? Of course, we know Bruce Smith, but Fred Smirlis, good nose tackle back in the day. I was trying to think of a good comp here. All right, Ted Washington, whatever. I'm not saying that. But I do think these guys will help. I think they'll allow the Bills to play a little bit differently, how they want to play. But they still have a lot of questions on the defensive end. And yes, questions on the offensive end. But I always kind of default to Josh Allen on the offense. I say, well, they still have Josh. And even if it doesn't look right, at the end of the day, you have a chance and you're going to make plays because you have Josh Allen. Now, it hasn't worked out as much the last 2 weeks. I get that. But generally, that's the case. On defense, I think you could pick apart a lot of different spots and say, how are you going to fix that part? What are you going to do differently here? What are you going to do when the Kansas City Chiefs come to town and they have all that speed? And I'm interested to see. And before I take phone calls, and thanks a lot, we got a couple people on hold, and I appreciate that. We'll get to you in just a second. I remember I was at a function a few years ago, and the guy, and I can't remember his name now, he used to run the Hall of Fame, and he was up, he was talking, and his son had played at USC. And he said, this is when Pete Carroll was the head coach at USC. He told this story. This is a really, it kind of resonated with me this week. Sorry, excuse me. And he told this story. And the story was, one time USC was playing Oregon State, and they were down pretty bad. They were down like in the third quarter. And USC was supposed to be boat racing them, basically, and they weren't. He said Pete Carroll called a timeout, or they had after a score, whatever. He brought the whole team over to the sidelines. And he's like, and they're down. They're down like 2 scores, 10 points, whatever, to a team they should be totally handling. And Pete Carroll looked at his team, and he said, man, this is great, isn't it? Everybody's like, what are you talking about, coach? It's great. We're down. We're losing to Oregon State. It's great. This is great. I'm so excited. Like, what do you mean? And he said, I'm excited to see how you respond. So we're so all the time, like we go out there, we beat teams, but now you have adversity. How do you respond to adversity? And look, nobody wants to be in this situation for the Bills. I'm excited to see what they put on the field next Sunday. I really am. I'm not telling you you're going to go out to Carolina and beat them by 40 points. I don't know. They could lose the game. I mean, Carolina's looking good. They might have Andy Dalton at quarterback, by the way. The beloved Andy Dalton from Bills Mafia, right? By the way, I think you might want to face Bryce Young instead of Andy Dalton, but Andy Dalton might be playing. Who knows about that injury situation? I'm excited to see what the Bills put on the field. I really am. How do they respond to these 2 weeks? How do they respond to having a bye week and self-scouting? What are we going to see different? I'm excited for that. How's it look to you? 803-0550. General thoughts. How to fix it. What's gone wrong. Where you are right now getting a temperature of you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Let's start us off with Cody, who is in North Carolina. And I will actually be able to pull Cody up in a minute. But go ahead, Dan, if you could pull Cody up for me right now, I'd appreciate it. Go ahead, Cody. You're on the air.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
Yeah, so just to kind of piggyback on the Jeremy and Joe conversation, I feel like it's a Brady problem more than anything, right? You know, I feel like a lot of teams out there are, you know, running crossing routes and scheming their guys open, and we just are kind of sending Coleman down the field on an island. You know, his greatest attribute in the combine was the gauntlet drill, and it's like, you know, send him across the field, get him open, and try to get him in different patterns and change it up a little bit. You know, I also think too, you know, we talked about Kincaid and, you know, how much of an attribute he is to the team, but it's like, if he's hurt, which happens often, we kind of go away from the tight end, right? So why are we not using Knox and running those same routes? And then my last thing is, you know, why are we not putting the running backs out in passing formation? You know, you look at Atlanta and Robinson, they split him out all the time, just trying to get him the ball, you know? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. I'll go with you on at least one of the points I totally agree with here, and that is, number one, the running backs. I want to see more of that. I want to see, where is Ty Johnson involved in the passing game? Where is James Cook? Maybe that's an adjustment they make after the bye. Now, I will tell you that sometimes you have to keep those guys in for pass protection. And if teams are heating up Josh Allen, you need extra blockers. But you could also use those guys as little outlets, which they have. I'm not with you on the tight end part because, look, I think that's nice to say. But, I mean, people want it both ways then. Well, why aren't they using Dawson Knox to do that? How many people want Dawson Knox doing that, though? It's like a... He has done that. But how many times do I get phone calls like, why is Dawson Knox even on the team? He can't do this. He can't do that. And now you're saying, well, no, you need him to go do all these things. Like, I don't know if you're going to get that same level. I agree with you, though, that losing Kincaid was a really big deal last week, and that could be a really big deal going forward. Hopefully he can play. He's had a couple of weeks now. That's 3 weeks, right? You missed last week's game. You have the bye week. That's 3 weeks with the oblique. Hopefully he comes back. And as far as Joe Brady's concerned, I do think Joe Brady can be better. I think everybody can be better. But this is a team that last year was setting franchise records for points scored. I don't just want to say it's only because they have Josh Allen. I think you have to give Joe Brady some credit for that too, right? And I don't know. Is it because they ran more crossing routes? It does seem like they need better separation somehow. And sometimes that has to come down to scheming guys open. All right, let's go to Trent in Jamestown. Hi, Trent. You're on WGR.
Hey, how's it going, Sal? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch in on how it kind of feels like Groundhog Day to me, like the last 5-6 years. We're in this position a lot, it seems like, and I think we will bounce back. We kind of seem how, you know, we seem to always do that, but at some point it's less about the players and more about plays. I think Joe Brady has it in him, but I think he needs to open up the playbook a little bit. It seems like more of a scheme thing to me, but we are in this position pretty much every year, losing a couple in a row, and then we bounce back.
Let's say he opens it up. What does that look like to you, Trent? Trent, what does it look like to you to open up the playbook? Like, do you have something in mind, a player in mind? Because a lot of things of what we see and what we hear is, well, they don't have guys to separate downfield. So you can open it up as much as you want. That could also just equal 2nd and 10 or 3rd and 10 if you can't get it to them.
Yeah, I think we got to get the running backs involved in the passing game as well, and maybe try to stretch the field a little bit. We got Josh Palmer. I don't know how his injury's looking, but we signed guys that kind of seem like they're supposed to fill a separation role, and they haven't shown a whole lot of that.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. And listen, I think Palmer's got to be a little bit of that guy, right? And he was signed for this. He's not a great burner downfield, but he's a good separator in route running. And that was the book on him, why they signed him. And that injury really hurt them. They didn't have Kincaid, then all of a sudden they didn't have Palmer. He had already had 60 yards before halftime when he got hurt. A 45-yard catch, another 15-yard catch, which he gets hurt on. We'll hear from Sean McDermott later in the week. On Wednesday will be the first time we hear from McDermott. He'll give us an update on some of the injured guys, where the Bills stand with that. Josh Palmer is going to be a key guy to look at and think about there. We all know what happened back in April/May, right after the draft, when Brandon Bean came on WGR and he talked about wide receiver. And Jeremy's had the wide receiver train, and wasn't necessarily something they did this year with the train, but it was a talk, and it was still a talking point, and it has been. And Brandon Bean defended what they were doing at wide receiver and the fact that they scored 30 points a game, and he's not wrong on that. He has scoreboard, as we say, right? I do think, though, as I watch this team over the last few weeks, it feels like they still need a little more there. You don't have to have just, oh my God, go get the fastest guy on the planet. A lot of times that doesn't work, folks. I know. But I do think you need a little more ability to be able to get down the field, whether that's a player or a play, as Trent just said. But if you don't have that speed, it's a little bit tougher, right? When I'm watching the Chiefs yesterday, it's not just because they have Xavier Worthy, yes, he's fast, or Rashee Rice, he's fast. Those guys make plays. A lot of times those guys, their plays are off the line of scrimmage. Rashee Rice scored a touchdown on a little flip pass in front of him. But you know what it did, though? Suddenly here comes Travis Kelce now, who seems like he is has a lot more room to operate. And that's what that can do for you. Elijah Moore has some speed. Maybe that's a bit of a ticket they can use. So we'll see what adjustments, what creativity, if you will, what planning Joe Brady and the offense come up with during the bye week. Let's go up to Billy in Toronto. What's going on, Billy?
Hey, Sal, how's it going? Yeah, listen, you know, the worst nightmare is coming true right now. Forget about the Bills. Forget about everything else. The Kansas City Chiefs are starting to roll, just like you said. We had a chance to put them away, at least have a big lead in the division, and coast home to a first-round bye throughout the playoffs. And now we've let everybody back in. And like you say, even this Carolina team is starting to play a lot better. Who can say that that's a win? I mean, we got to start letting Josh be Josh. I mean, I'm sick and tired of trying to run here, pass here, do this by the book. Let's open it up and let Josh be Josh. And that's the only way we're going to start scoring. We'll get guys open and stuff like that when teams got to really, really, concentrate on Josh. Then it'll make our other players better. But I'll tell you this, you know, again, I can't reiterate this enough. Nobody's called in more to this show and told you we're going to the Super Bowl. And God damn it, we have let Kansas City back in. For them to hold the Raiders to three first downs in a football game, the Raiders should be kicked out of the league, as far as I'm concerned. Three first downs.
Billy.
It's now between us and Kansas City again, and that's what worries me.
Well, let me say, I got two things for you, Billy, before you go, okay? Thanks for calling us also. I got two things for you. Number one, yes, the Bills losing two games kind of lets them back in. I get your point. But you can't do anything about Kansas City until you play them. You want to keep them out, you beat them. I mean, the Bills have nothing to do with Kansas City playing the Raiders. That's Kansas City. Kansas City has played six separate games than the Buffalo Bills. When you say let them back in, the only way you could do what you described early was to go 6-0 in your first six games, which is great, but a little unrealistic sometimes too. Yes, one loss and one win that could have changed New England or Atlanta would definitely make you feel better. I get that. But it's not like, you know, Kansas City is their own team. They've had six games. The Bills still have a chance to play them, and that's when you can try and do something about it. You can't really do anything about them until you play them. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? Right?
Yep.
Okay, number two. What's the vibe like in Toronto tonight, brother?
Well, I'll tell you something. It is wide open. Like I've been saying since the beginning of the year, it's wide open for anybody to win. But, I mean, with it.
No. Billy, did you hear what I asked you? What is the vibe in Toronto tonight? Like for baseball, it's game seven.
What do you think, Sal?
Well, come on. People are going crazy, right? I mean, what's it like? It's going to be awesome up there, man.
It's awesome. It does seem to be, you know, again, this wasn't expected halfway through the year. We're starting to see a lot of people come out of the woodwork that were supposed to be Blue Jay fans for life. But you know what? Hey, it's just not Toronto. It's all over Canada that they're going crazy, and you know it's well deserved. And hopefully we get it done today, and then we got a big task ahead of playing the Kansas City Chiefs of baseball, the LA Dodgers. So yeah, they're going nuts up here, and I just hope if we get beat, it's not by bad bullpen decisions or bad. If we get beat, you know what? We get beat. But this team is different. This is old school baseball. I know Vladdy's having a good series, and I know I've ripped him on your show before. But it's everybody 1 through 9 getting base hits, everybody doing their job. This is old school at its finest. And, hopefully we're playing LA in the World Series.
Billy, take care. Thanks for calling, as always, buddy. I appreciate you. Yeah. You got it. All right. We'll take a timeout here. God, how about tonight, man? Think about this. You got two Monday Night Football games tonight. Game 7 of the ALCS tonight, just across the border, basically. Sabres also across the border, a little bit. And the other side, though, over there, Montreal. Sabres, two Monday Night Football games. Game 7 should be awesome. Awesome here to be with you from the WSBU studios on the campus of St. Bonaventure University today. Talking with some students after this. Talking with you today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Monday. Sal Capaccio with you. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back, take more of your phone calls on the Bills. Paul Hamilton on the way at 11 a.m.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.